The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Injuries sustained from job-related and auto accidents, as well as slip and falls, can last for your entire life. Being paid for your pain and suffering is not only deserved, but is necessary. And most importantly, it is your right. Let the law firm of Ros Russo Shahabian expertly, empathetically, and aggressively fight for what you deserve. My name is Tom Russo, partner at Ros Russo Shahabian. With over 40 years of combined experience, my partners and I have relentlessly and successfully fought for our clients' needs. Contact us at 516-376-0000. That's 516-376-0000. Do not be discouraged by your pain, and do not be discouraged by your experience with other personal injury attorneys. We are different. We're accessible to you 24 hours a day. We will keep you updated as to our progress and always fight for what you deserve. Again, our firm is Ros Russo Shahabian, and our number is 516-376-0000. That's 516-376-0000. Stop hoping for a great settlement. Together, let us fight for one. Everybody, and welcome to Accidentally Yours. I'm your host, Tom Russo, and it is my honor and pleasure to spend some time with you today and every Thursday at 3 p.m. right here on 103.9 LI News Radio. So, what do we do on this show? Well, it's our mission. It's our goal to empower you. We want to educate you. We want to inform you about your rights as an accident victim. Hopefully, you yourself, your loved ones, your family members, your friends will never be involved in an accident, a car accident, or an accident on the job, or a trip and fall, a slip and fall, or a victim of nursing home negligence. But unfortunately, the statistics are against you. We all drive here on Long Island in the five boroughs, and there are literally dozens upon dozens of car accidents that happen every single day. In fact, the Long Island Expressway itself probably has around 20 car accidents per day. And now, most of those, fortunately, do not involve injury, but a lot of them do. So you need to know what to do. You need to know what your rights are. And most importantly, you need to have the right attorney. Again, my name is Thomas Russo. I am one of the partners at Ros Russo Shahabian. Our phone number is 516-376-0000. That's 516-376-0000. I invite you to take a look at our website at rrslawyers.com and find out what we do. All we do and all we have done for decades is represent accident victims, those who have been injured in any type of accident. We have limited our practice to solely helping those persons who were injured in any type of accident. And the consultations are always free. Maybe you have a case, maybe you don't have a case. You give us a call, you will speak with an attorney. And an attorney that has years and years worth of experience, knows exactly the type of case that you have, and has handled many before, and will give you straight answers. Okay. What I thought we would do today, and I have a very special guest, is we get a lot of questions from different people. We get emails. We're just talking. People have questions about what they should do if they're in an accident, or what the process is and what they should really expect. So today's show is going to be frequently asked questions that we get. It's going to be some true or false narratives and information that we're going to dispel some myths as well. But I'm going to need some help today. So I've recruited one of my favorite attorneys, and who's a regular here on the show, Mr. David Yaron. Welcome, David.
Much, Tom, for having me. Glad to be here. Good afternoon to all the listeners. Very happy to cover this topic, and I hope you're doing well.
Well, David, I got to tell you, we've been on kind of a tear these last few months with work in the accident cases, would you say?
Absolutely, 100%.
We have in the neighborhood of approximately 500 cases at our law firm at any given time. And give us an idea, David. What kind of cases do we have? Car accidents? What else?
I mean, you have it. We name it. I mean, we have car accidents. We have people that are slipping and falling on, you know, ice and snow. We have people that are walking in New York City or out here on Long Island and they basically trip on a sidewalk. We have people that are going for jogs on rollerblades and they're falling down, they're hurting themselves. If you've been hurt in New York, we have that kind of case. We have everything from dog bites to slip and falls. We have everything.
We have everything. Unfortunately, it tells you something. And I think the theme here, David, is there's a reason why we have all these cases. And me personally, my opinion is because people have lost this sense of responsibility. Like, yeah, I have a property, but I don't have to take care of it. Oh, I have a car. I can drive however I want. I can speed. I can be distracted. I can be on a cell phone. And inevitably, that's when accidents happen. And unfortunately, it keeps us very busy, and the phones do ring, and we have many different types of accident cases, as you said. Also, nursing home negligence cases, which we see a lot. And now, with the nicer weather coming in the summertime, we're going to get calls on boating accidents and jet ski accidents as well. All types of accidents. David, you've been practicing now. How long is it?
Better part of a decade now. We're talking about 8-9 years of practicing primarily personal injury law. Absolutely.
Yeah. And you saw we've explored this on other shows, but you also have the benefit of a defense background, too. You saw the other side.
You know what? A lot of people make fun of me for it, for switching sides, et cetera. But I do like the fact that I know what the other side is thinking about.
That's right.
I know that they have to value cases in a specific way. And I like to use that against them. I know the way they're thinking about my case, and I use that against them for my client.
Absolutely. It's interesting. That's, you know, it makes you more well-rounded. You know exactly how they're thinking and you can anticipate their next moves. Right?
100%. 100%.
All right. So, David, let's dive into it. Some frequently asked questions about accidents. So one of the ones that I think it's a very important question. I get this one a lot is, what should I do if I've been involved in an accident? What's the first things that we should do?
I love this question. I love when people ask me this question because the answer is so simple. You call a personal injury attorney. You call Rosner Russo Shahabian. You get on your cell phone. You're probably laying on the ground. Your first phone call might be 911. Your second should be us. You're going to get one of us on the phone, and we're going to tell you. Because every case is different. If it's a car accident, we're going to tell you one thing. You got to take photographs. You got to talk to people. You got to get the police there. If it's a slip and fall, you have to take a picture of the ice and snow because that's going to evaporate. That's going to melt. It depends on the case. The first thing you got to do is pick up the phone and call us.
Now, I want to dispel something because, as you said, you want one of those first phone calls to be to a lawyer. Now, there's a reason for that. And believe it or not, times have changed. And that phone call could make all the difference because back in the day, police officers routinely would write out police reports no matter what. If you were in a car accident, they would fill out the report. You could get the report. You were entitled to it. It'd have all the information on there. For whatever reasons, and we don't have to go into it, they're not doing that anymore unless there's an ambulance being called or unless there's a certain amount of damage to the vehicles. So one of those things, one of those reasons we want you to call us right away at the scene is because we will tell you, insist on the police officer doing a police report. Now, there's good cops, there's other types of cops, and we love our cops and many friends who are cops and they do the right thing. But there's some that don't want to be bothered with car accidents. You insist on a police report. And if you feel any pain whatsoever, you make sure you ask for that ambulance so that you get that report. It means so much at times because otherwise there won't be any report. And that could be very problematic down the road. So, yeah, as you said, first thing, call the lawyer, know your rights. You mentioned taking photographs. Why do we want to take photographs?
People don't understand. That scene is never going to look like that again. If you slip on ice, for example, that ice will not be there in the same shape and manner the next day.
Correct. Or even the next hour.
The next hour, you're right. I mean, if it's going to snow, if the temperature is going to change, if it's a car accident and the police arrive and they start moving the vehicles, now when you take a photograph, the vehicles aren't in the same position. We can't tell that that car came into your lane. It's very important to call an attorney and he or she will say, take photos right now. Get that phone out. You have it. Take the pictures.
It's so important. Photographs are so important. And it's true. A picture's worth 1,000 words. Well, to us, it can tell the whole story. And we've won cases just on a single photograph. I mentioned this before on the show, but thankfully, a client of ours who had a hotly disputed car accident case took one photograph showing a bald tire on the other vehicle. And that's what won the case. So photographs every single time. And if you're a construction worker and you've been injured on the job, a lot of the times it's because there's debris that's on the ground, because you don't have safe egress or ingress. They're supposed to provide a safe place to work. Well, guess what? The laborers are cleaning that up after a half hour. And it's gone. So we want photographs. You just take a couple of them, just so we have something that we can work with. A lot of information on today's program. Dispelling myths. Answering those frequently asked questions with my guest today, David Urone. You're listening to Accidentally Yours. I'm your host, Tom Russo. Please, we are here to help you. Even if you just have questions, give us a call. 516-376-0000. That's 516-376-0000. And check us out on the web, Rosner Russo Shahabian at rrslawyers.com. Back after these messages. Welcome back, everybody, to Accidentally Yours. I'm your host, Tom Russo, right here on 103.9 LI News Radio. If you've been involved in any type of accident, if you or a loved one has been involved in any type of accident, I want you to pay close attention to that TV ad that you see over and over and over, and I want you to look at the teeny tiny little print at the bottom that obviously a lawyer wrote, and it says actor portrayals, not real clients. Is that the law firm you want? That actually has, they can't get one client to get on the TV for them, David? They can't get one? All right, they got to have these actors. And then you'll notice, too, look at all those numbers. The $1 million, the $1 billion, even their phone number is millions of dollars, right? They don't say what they're for. It doesn't even say that they're settlements, all right? Please, give us a call at RRS. We get it done for you. 516-376-0000. We are answering frequently asked questions today, David. Is that right?
That's right. We were just talking earlier about photographs. I could talk about photographs all day. I love talking about photographs because they are so powerful.
That important. Yeah.
It's everything. I mean, you show them to a jury. You show them to an insurance adjuster. Sometimes people lie to their own attorneys. You show them to the defense attorney and they go, whoa, this is not the story that we were told.
No.
And so they're so, so powerful.
So David, give me an idea of a case that you had recently where a photograph was that important, or getting the photograph was that important.
We have a case that we're actively litigating now, and I'm not going to give it all away, but I will say that basically what had happened was somebody threw a birthday party for a child and they put a big sign in the front of their home. And instead of taking the sign away when the party was over, they kind of just cut the sign down. So there was maybe a metal stick hanging out 4 or 5 inches above the ground. And there's kids playing at this party, etc. And a little boy is running and he trips and he falls right into that metal post.
Oh,
and it goes right into the knee. The photos of the injuries are horrific. But I will say this, the caregiver for the person that fell was so smart. They took photos at the scene. They took photos of that sign. There was still blood on it with the photos. I got to tell you, within 2 days, I was already retained and I was already at the front of that house. It was gone. Within two days, that homeowner had moved it away. If that person didn't take those photos, I wouldn't be able to show them. I would have to describe them. And who knows if a jury would believe me or my client. So you got to take those photos.
Take the photos. Okay. So our question was, what should I do if I'm in an accident? We'll review. Give us a call, obviously, and speak to a lawyer so you know your rights. Take your photographs. As I had said, if you're involved in some type of situation where the police are involved, make sure you insist on a report. I'm going to add to it a little bit. One of the things I would say is, get witness information. You get people who stop sometimes, say, listen, I was a witness, I saw the whole thing. And you hope that they're going to stick around, but they don't always. So get their names and get their numbers. That could make a big difference as well, right?
I mean, it becomes a he said, she said. We're going to say our client said something else and they're very injured. And the insurance company is going to say, well, that's not what our client said. But then we're going to say, listen, we have another person that was just driving by. They have no stake in the game. And they saw the way your client was driving like an animal. And that really, really helps with settlements, and juries love hearing people that have no stake in the game. It's great.
All right, let's get our next question, David. And this is one that, of course, we explain to everybody when we're getting retained, but people want to know, what are your fees? I don't have money to pay for a lawyer.
You know, it's so sad when people, I've actually had signups, and people come to me after months and months and months, and I say, listen, why didn't you come to me the week this happened, the day this happened? Why didn't you go? I didn't have any money.
Right.
And I say to them, what's well, I had a divorce lawyer, I had a criminal lawyer, I had to give him $10,000 up front. None of that with us.
Sounds like a busy person.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But none of that with us. You know, you see all the commercials, etc. We put all the expenses into the case because we believe in the case. When you come to our office, you leave with a signed retainer. You don't spend one penny that day.
You don't pay us. You don't give us any money up front.
That's
doesn't work that way.
That's
if
it.
We don't get you money, we don't get paid. It's that simple.
How great of a business model is that? You know we're going to be
perfect.
Working for you.
That's right. That's right. What an incentive, right? Could you imagine that? Imagine you worked for a company where the boss has said, listen, you're going to work and you're going to work and you work and work. But if we make a profit, you'll get paid. But if we don't make a profit, you don't get anything. Right?
Terrible.
All right. Thankfully, we have been very successful, in my opinion, over the years. And we're very good at picking the right cases and working the cases right. And we've been very fortunate, David.
You know, I've heard terrible stories about people that tell me that, oh, I had a case with a lawyer years ago. And after 2.5 years, he told me I don't have a case. I don't understand why lawyers just, they sign everything
Ryan,
up.
Ryan.
If we don't think you have a good case, we'll explain to you why. If you do have a good case, we'd love to explain to you why, but I don't think it's fair for people that don't know the law to think that they have a great case, they're telling everybody about it, then they get a phone call 2.5 years later by their lawyer, listen, we're going to drop the case.
Our law firm is Rosner Russo Shahabian. You can reach us at 516-376-0000. 516-376-0000. Call us. Give us a call. If you've had an accident case, you have questions. Is your case just sitting around doing nothing? We don't let our cases sit, do we, Dave?
No, of course not.
No. Absolutely not. So that answers that question about how we get paid. We get paid on contingency, which is beautiful because we're united in interest, right?
Right.
We work hard for our clients and we're generally successful with it, which is, in my opinion, I think it's just a perfect situation. Here's a good question, David. Next frequently asked question. Will my case go to trial?
I hope so. That's the kind of attorney I am. I always think you can get the maximum value from trial. I think you have to put these insurance companies up against the wall. You have to say, listen, we trust our client. We trust our skill set. We're going to trial. We're not afraid. But some cases do settle, and that's okay. You know, you get a lot of plaintiffs and clients that come in and say, look, I don't really want to go to trial. I'm afraid. That's okay. We can't guarantee a settlement. We can definitely guarantee that you'll be able to tell your story to a jury. I'm a trial attorney. You're a trial attorney. We only work with trial attorneys. I like going to trial. You get maximum value, but it depends on the case.
Now, will my case go to trial? Okay. I have a different answer to that, and is... Let's find out.
Right.
If the insurance company is not willing to pay you a reasonable amount of money, which, by the way, that's our goal. We make insurance claims, and no cases have to go to trial, David.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If we go to trial, it's because an insurance company, and folks, have no doubts about that. If you're sitting on a jury anywhere in New York State, and you're not hearing the word insurance, there's a reason why. There's literally a rule that says we're not allowed to mention the insurance. We're not allowed to tell you that there's insurance. There's literally a rule. I'm telling you that now because I could say it over the airwaves. But we can't say that to you in a jury room. There is insurance. And if we're going to trial, it's because the insurance company is either offering nothing or not enough. And we're being forced to go to trial. So I take a different approach. I don't want to say I hope we go to trial. I say I wish we didn't have to go to trial.
Mm.
I wish Mrs. Johnson didn't have to get dragged through the muck for 2.5
right.
years, who was injured and she's supposed to feel bad because she made a claim. I feel bad even for the defendants sometimes because they know they're at fault, but their own insurance company is dragging them through the muck and making them go to trial. So I hope we don't go to trial. I will tell you this. We don't settle cases for peanuts. And there's a lot of law firms out there that, especially with recent times, they'll fire sale cases. And they'll absolutely take a haircut and they'll absolutely settle cases for pennies on the dollar. We just don't do that.
No, it's not a good business model. And honestly, it's not fair to the client. It's Absolutely. Not fair because when they come to us, we understand that when you come to us, you are going through a tough time in your life. You don't come to a lawyer, especially a personal injury lawyer, when everything is hunky-dory. So if you're putting your trust in us, we are going to do the right thing. And we're going to keep you apprised every step of the way. You're going to have our cell phone numbers. You're going to have our email addresses. And we're going to let you know what's going on with your case every single step of the way.
Professor Rabinowitz taught me and probably taught you as well in our trial techniques class in Hofstra Law. You try the cases you should try. You settle the cases you should settle. It's that simple, right?
Right.
You're listening to Accidentally Yours. I'm your host, Tom Russo, right here on 103.9 LI News Radio with my colleague and esteemed attorney, associate at my firm, David Urone. We are answering frequently asked questions, things you may not have even thought about. Hopefully you're never in an accident. Hopefully, if you're driving right now, people are driving safe on the road, but you see them. You see people swerving in and out. You see people distracted. Hopefully nothing happens to you. Back after these messages. Injuries sustained from job-related and auto accidents, as well as slip and falls, can last for your entire life. Being paid for your pain and suffering is not only deserved, but is necessary. And most importantly, it is your right. Let the law firm of Raza Russo Shahabian expertly, empathetically, and aggressively fight for what you deserve. My name is Tom Russo, partner at Raza Russo Shahabian. With over 40 years of combined experience, my partners and I have relentlessly and successfully fought for our clients' needs. Contact us at 516-376-0000. That's 516-376-0000. Do not be discouraged by your pain, and do not be discouraged by your experience with other personal injury attorneys. We are different. We are accessible to you 24 hours a day. We will keep you updated as to our progress and always fight for what you deserve. Again, our firm is Rosner Russo Shahabian, and our number is 516-376-0000. That's 516-376-0000. Stop hoping for a great settlement. Together, let us fight for one. Back. You're listening to 103.9 LI News Radio, Accidentally Yours with Tom Russo. My very special guest, David Urone. David, welcome back.
So much. Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Today, we are answering some frequently asked questions. We're dispelling some myths, the do's, the don'ts, the truths, the falsities, trying to get the information out there to the people, my friend.
Absolutely. There's things that people should know. You know, you haven't been in a car accident yet. That's a great thing.
Right.
But these are things you should know. The photographs, the falsities, like you said, insurance. People should know this.
Big bad insurance companies, right?
The worst.
No. We actually love insurance companies. We do. There's good ones out there. There's some terrible insurance companies out there. Now, I would love to name them, but I wouldn't want David Levenstein, our executive producer, to get sued, so I won't. I'll simply invite you to look up on the internet. I want you to... Here's what you want to look up, folks. Look up an insurance company and then put in the words bad faith. And I want you to see that insurance companies routinely in this country are getting punished by courts because they are refusing to pay out claims. Now, they'll spend billions, literally billions, on advertising. Look at certain companies that you know of that it seems every other commercial seems to be one of these stupid little 30-second things with various rodents or reptiles or other stupidity. And they don't mind spending billions on that, but God forbid someone actually makes a claim. Oh my gosh, we can't pay that out. So I want you to, if you don't believe us, because no one talks about this, go to Google and put in your favorite insurance company and put in bad faith or punitive damages and see what's really going on out there, that they're not paying claims. And an insurance company absolutely has a duty to pay out on claims. Isn't that right, Dave?
That's completely correct. I mean, that's why it's called bad faith. They should be acting in good faith. If they know somebody's injured, there might be reasonable compensation for that person, but sometimes they decide not to act in good faith, and lawyers have to keep them on their toes and say, hey, we're not going to let you do that. We're going to use the courts to say you should pay.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? Since just to give a little fairness to the program, I am going to give credit to Geico Insurance Company. During what's been going on over the last year, there are certain insurance companies that wouldn't settle with us at all. Geico has been very good about it, and their rates are reasonable. Full disclosure, I do have Geico as my own insurance company. They've been great. I don't own any of their stock, but I can tell you, we know the good and we know the bad. So it depends. It depends on your insurance company. Right. But just remember, whoever you purchase, that's going to be your insurance company.
Right.
So
and
that's the problem,
people
right?
People need to understand that insurance is really there to protect you. I mean, God forbid you hit somebody else with your motor vehicle, the insurance is going to be there to cover that person's injuries.
Absolutely.
This way, no. So it's good to have a good insurance company on your side.
Definitely. Let's get to the next frequently asked question. I think this is a great question. I think this is one of the best questions. Is there anything, David, that I should not do? If I'm an accident victim, all right, we have the client. Is there anything that they shouldn't do?
That is a good question. That is a question that I get, or I'll bring it up at an intake. Because if I have somebody that's been injured and they say, okay, what do I do now? I've signed up with you. What do I do now? The one thing I'll say on this radio program for everybody out there is we live in a very social media world. And you have to understand that when you go to court or when an insurance company is evaluating your claim, they can take things out of context. I've had a case, for example, I have a client in tremendous pain. It's hard to sit. It's hard to walk. It's hard to sleep. Everything, it's difficult. All of a sudden, they go to a family member's wedding. They have a little bit to drink. They're having a good time. And they're on the dance floor just for about a minute or two, just to be part of the party. Somebody gets a hold of that video. They put it on the internet. The insurance company sees it. The other attorney sees it. Now, all of a sudden, they're showing a jury 25 seconds of this person dancing and saying, look, they're not that injured. Look at them. They're dancing. Meanwhile, after that 2 minutes of dancing, the person's sitting down, etc. You got to be really careful with what you put out there. Social media, whether it's Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, whatever you put out there, it can and will be used against you in court.
Yeah, so much, you know, I just on other topics too, just the damage that social media can do on any number of fronts. I'll add to it other things that you should not do. Do not sign any paperwork in the beginning, unless it's from your lawyer, of course. Believe it or not, there are insurance companies out there that will send people out. They will show up at your door with a check and say, hey, good news, I have $3,000 for you. Just sign here. Now, you don't realize you have terrible injuries because it's too soon. Don't sign anything before you speak to a lawyer. So I'm gonna add that. That's number one. Number two, what shouldn't I do? You have to listen to doctor's orders. So listen to doctor's orders. If they need you to go for treatment, you're not gonna get better unless you actually go and treat. If they need you to go take tests, go get the testing done. So follow doctor's orders. You have to follow doctor's orders. What else shouldn't you do? Well, you definitely want to keep your lawyer updated on the treatment that you're having and what's going on, and ask questions. That's what we're here for, right, David?
100%. You got to ask questions. I don't want you going to bed worried about something that I don't know about that's keeping you up at night. It might be a very simple answer. Hey, David, if I'm out of work for a few days, what do I do? Hey, don't worry. Your insurance will cover that. No fault benefits, which we timely filed, will cover that. I will also add one thing that really makes me a little crazy is when clients call up going, hey, I was at the so-and-so, I was at the supermarket, and I was talking to my friend. They said they had $1 million case and that. You got to be careful who you talk to. Everybody has friends, but you got to understand that everybody's case is different. So don't tell your friends and family about your lawsuit and then allow them to kind of mold your brain into thinking what they're thinking. They might say, oh, I had a case like that. I only got 10 grand. And now you're thinking, oh, my lawsuit's not that good. I'm not going to do what the doctor says, etc. You got to be careful with who you talk to about your lawsuit.
Absolutely. All right. Next question. I think this was another good one. This is an important one. What if I am partially at fault for my own accident? Good question.
That's a great question. Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, we live in a great state. In New York, you're allowed in court in a lawsuit to be partially at fault for an accident. In fact, many times I've stood in front of juries and said, hey, listen, I'm not going to come out here and tell you it's 100% the other guy's fault. We'll admit we were crossing the street not with the light. We'll admit that in this car accident, it's partially our fault.
Yeah.
It's okay if it's not 100% the other person's fault. You're allowed to have a lawsuit. You should be compensated for, let's say, 75% of your injuries if it's 75% the other person's fault. So you're absolutely allowed. There are some states that don't allow that.
Yeah.
If it's partially your fault, you can't have a lawsuit. Can you imagine?
Construction workers, and if you're out there listening to this, listen, it was my own fault. I didn't have the safety harness on. I wasn't using the right equipment or whatever it was. Guess what? You still have the possibility of making a claim because it's understood that the workplace has to be safe. So even if you are partially at fault for your accident or you think you are, we still want you to give us a call. 516-376-0000. 516-376-0000. Rosner, Russo, Shahabian. This is all we do, ladies and gentlemen. And listen, if you have a question or you know anyone that was injured, give us a call. So if they're partially at fault, absolutely. We still want them to call us, David.
Absolutely.
Now, here's another one that kind of parlays off of that. What if I have a long-standing injury, such as a back injury or a knee injury? I've had it all along, but then I'm in a car accident or a work accident or I slip and fall, and it makes it worse. I can't really do anything about that, can I? I already had that.
See, yes, you can do something, and this is why you don't need just a personal injury attorney. You need a great personal injury attorney. You need to call us because we will get your MRIs. We will get your x-rays from whatever happened to you in the past, and we will be able to show the insurance company, maybe there was a car accident 10 years ago. Maybe she did slip on ice 10 years ago, 5 years ago, but she was fine after that.
That's right.
And this is what did it. I've had so many times where insurance companies say, she wasn't injured because of this car accident. It was that thing that happened 5-10 years ago. This is why you need a really good lawyer.
I've had insurance companies too. I was like, what would you do with a disabled person? Yes, there are disabled people aren't allowed to enjoy the benefits of the laws that we have. It's just a ridiculous argument.
Terrible.
David. You take the person as they are, whatever their life was before, it's different as a result, and you deserve fair and reasonable compensation for that. You're listening to Accidentally Yours right here on 103.9 LI News Radio. Every Thursday at 3 p.m., we are here for you. If you've been involved in any type of accident, family member or friend, if you're a construction worker hurt on the job, you have mom or dad in a nursing home that's had an injury, let us know. Back after these messages. Okay, welcome back, everybody, to Accidentally Yours. I'm your host, Tom Russo, with David Urone. Please, if you know anybody that's been involved in an accident, you yourself, you got to know your rights. You got to have a good lawyer. You have to have a lawyer that this is what they do. We don't do this as a hobby, right, David?
Not at all. This is what we do, and the only thing we do is this.
That's right. 516-376-0000. Give us a call with all your questions. Well, it's our last segment, David, which means it's time for our friend, David Levenstein, to enlighten us with some questions, and let's see if we can help him out with the information. How you doing, David?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Great show today. I'm sitting here back in the engineer booth with Mike. We're listening, and a lot of questions are bubbling in my head. First of all, one of those things about what you said about you doing only personal injury.
Right. There
are a lot of lawyers out there. I want people to be careful about this, and I want to know what you think about it. A lot of lawyers, they have a multifaceted practice.
Yep.
They do some divorce. They do criminal. They do personal injury. They do all these things. And I think it's difficult to wear a lot of hats. I mean, I've been dealing with a personal injury attorney for my personal case, and it's time-consuming. There's a lot of paperwork, there's a lot of filing, there's a lot of waiting, there's a lot of investigating going on.
That's right.
How can a lawyer possibly be doing this and be handling some matrimonial cases and be handling bankruptcies and be handling real estate transactions? I don't see it.
It's like any walk of life, you know. Mm-hmm. I have a great mechanic. I have a great dentist. I don't want my mechanic doing dental work.
Right. I mean, you may have a practice that has different areas.
Yeah.
But there are individual practitioners that do everything. They just don't want to let any business go.
Yeah.
And those are the people that get me nervous. I go into a restaurant that serves like bagels and tacos.
Yeah, yeah. You see these a la carte firms, too, that if you look at what they do, oh, we do matrimonial, we do wills, trust estates, we do immigration. Well, guess what? Number one, they probably don't do any of those things, David. This is what you don't know, and they don't have to tell you this. I mean that they'll advertise that they do all these things. You go there to visit them, but they just refer it out to somebody else and take a piece of it. They're not even going to handle it. So that's an important question that you want to ask any lawyer that
you're
going
to see. So when you see these law firms that do all these things, they will just farm it out and just take a piece of the fees?
Some of them do that, yeah. And they're allowed to.
Really?
Yep.
So that's I had no idea. I thought they did these things.
It's frequently asked questions day. That's the question. Who's going to handle my case? Yeah. You come to our firm, you meet the lawyer who's going to handle your case, right. And we've got it start to finish with you.
Now, there's another huge, gigantic law firm, two guys that have the signs all over the place. And now,
I have no idea who you're talking about.
Yeah, I do. But now there's one sign here and one sign there. They broke up. And I mean, you've seen them, you know.
No, never.
Yeah, but if you've seen the signs, they were. I don't want to say their names, but it rhymes with Shlomino and Schmarns. Anyway, but when you hear all these things, right?
Yeah.
And law firms are breaking up and getting back together, all these things going on, and your case is with them, what happens to your case?
Well, listen, I know who you're speaking of, and there are a lot of great lawyers there.
Yeah,
I can tell you that.
Yeah.
And then there's other types of lawyers that are there. That's the problem, is you don't know where your file is going to go, and that's the question you got to ask.
No, who's going to handle my file? You see the people of the commercial,
yeah,
but that's not the people that you're actually hiring, because they're just so big.
Yeah, there's not that particular firm we've been speaking about, but there are attorney advertising. You got to always look at the fine print.
Right.
You got to look at the fine print. A lot of times it will say that they're going to give it to other firms, that they're not even going to handle it. So they do disclose it. They get enough of, they get past the legalese with it, with that tiny little print that's flashed on the screen for 5 seconds.
Yeah, going to a gigantic firm always scared me because I don't get lost. I don't want to be just one of many, many clients.
That's right.
And at the same time, I want to be with a firm that is going to know my name. I know their names. They know who I am, what I need, what my fears are, what my concerns are, and they can handle the case personally. And how has that benefited your clients?
Yeah. David, take that
being one. The size that you are.
It's interesting because that's where the whole boutique law firm came about, where it was basically you don't want to get lost in a sea of lawyers, but you also don't want to go to some local yokel that's on the corner that's above a grocery store that you don't know what's going to happen.
Sure.
You get something like what we have is a boutique law firm where you have really, really high quality and you have attorneys that know what they're doing,
right?
And they work really hard to keep it that way. It's very difficult to give all of your clients, let's say, your cell phone number. All of our clients have our cell phone numbers. It's a boutique law firm. We only do personal injury. We only take cases that we believe in, and we make sure to give every case high quality. It's like going to a restaurant that not everybody knows about. The quality is there. You don't want to go to some, like I said, local, attorney on top of, let's say, a grocery store, and then you never hear him. So, yeah.
Now, let me get off this for a second. So I have another question. I was driving down the Southern State Parkway the other day, and I was buzzing by me were motorcycles, right?
Yeah.
The racing bikes, and they were going fast, and they were weaving in and out of traffic. Right. And then when that happens, and they're not in their lane, they're just, how responsible are we? God forbid we should hit one of these motorcycles, because when they're in and out of lanes and speeding and things like that, should we? How are we possibly to be aware of their existence when they're just going by so quickly?
I've handled many motorcycle cases over the year, David, and I can tell you the vast majority, thank goodness, of motorcycle drivers out there are responsible drivers. They realize when they get on that piece of equipment that it's life or death.
They're so not most protected.
Exactly. But then you do have the reckless persons. We've seen them. So what happens with them? There's a few problems. Number one is, first of all, anyone out there driving one of those motorcycles and is driving recklessly like that, chances are your medical bills aren't going to be covered. So start there. The second thing is that chances are, if the case ever goes to trial, the juries seem to be biased very much against motorcyclists. So chances are you're going to lose a trial. So now you're going to get sued too. So that's what happens.
But two cars that bang into each other a little bit, many times, most of the time, it doesn't end up in a personal injury suit. It's just a dent in a parking lot, things like that.
Sure.
But in a motorcycle situation,
bad.
A little ding will end up in some serious suit.
Yeah.
So is the fact that the motorcycle driver is not protected, do they take a little bit of onus of responsibility?
See, you bring up a very good point. And I do, when I have represented motorcyclists, that's a bias that we have to get past, right?
Right.
Because it's almost natural. It's like you're asking for trouble.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're going 60 miles an hour on the highway, and you're not, and I'm protected by steel.
Right,
and I can still get hurt, right, knowing this.
I get those people off of my jury. Because we're already starting behind. Because now there's an internal bias against motorcyclists, right? And there shouldn't be. Well, sure. You know what? You took the risk. You shouldn't be on a motorcycle. Well, that person probably shouldn't be on the jury. That's why you have to have a good lawyer, and you have to have a trial lawyer when that tries cases, because you can get those people off. That person should not be on your jury and should be taken off the jury.
Because I think the person's mindset is, well, they're taking the risk. Yeah, but they're not breaking the law. They're allowed to be on a motorcycle.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you, as a driver, need to be careful. Just like no different than a pedestrian crossing the street.
Yep.
They're not protected by anything. You can't hit those people either.
That's right.
Yeah. There is a law against that, I believe.
Quite a few laws.
Yeah. I'll Google it, but I'm not sure.
New York City has its own laws. Every municipality has its own laws, too, about that.
Right.
But yeah. Pedestrians, anyone. We all have a right to use the roadways. And as long as we're responsible drivers with our licenses, you have every right to be out there. So any motorcyclists that get injured, sometimes they say, you know what, there's nothing I could do about it. Yes, there is. Call us.
Now, in the one last minute, what about potholes? People are driving on these potholes and they're getting injured. And I see it in my neighborhoods all the time because they haven't repaired them since the winter.
Yep.
What do we have to go on with a pothole? Does it have to be reported prior by anybody, anyone?
It's such a good question because it comes up so many times, and you got to be careful because, like Tom said, every city, state, municipality is different. You might have a city, state, or law that says they need to have notice of that pothole first. And you better believe if they know that someone's been injured in a pothole, they're cleaning that pothole. It's going to be covered within a week. Right. So you need to call us immediately because you got to understand if that pothole's in a municipality, you don't have 3 years to sue.
So somebody goes in a pothole and gets hurt, and they look and there was no record of anybody calling to complain about it, it would be a much more difficult case?
In fact, it's a loser of a case, unfortunately. That's why you should report. If you're in the five boroughs, call 311. We can use that. Otherwise, you have every right to complain to the municipality, write a letter. David, thank you so much for joining us. Great questions. Mr. Levenstein, as always. Mr. Yaron, thank you for the pleasure of your company. Always an honor and privilege. And thank you, everybody out there listening. Listen, we are there for you. If you've been involved in any accident, we hope you're never involved. But give us a call. Rosner, Russo, Shahabian at 516-376-0000. Remember, folks, success is no accident.